When I was about 14, 15, 16 years old, I got really into the Rocky movies. If I remember right, I think this was about the time that the sequel movies, the Creed series of movies, was coming out. I think there was just generally a lot of interest in the time in the Rocky franchise. If I remember correctly, I think Amazon or Netflix or somebody along those lines had all the movies, and they kind of were, you know, advertising them along with the release of the new movies. And I remember, you know, Saturday nights or whatnot, our family would watch the movies. You know, they're good fun. How many of you have seen at least one of the Rocky movies? All right, good amount of people. For those of you who've seen it, if I asked you what the most famous part of any of the Rocky movies is, what would you say? You might say, well, probably the big fight at the end of every movie, right? Rocky's a boxer. At the end of every movie, there's a big boxing match that he wins, loses, or draws, and that's kind of the big finale of every movie. You may talk about the famous scene of Rocky running up the steps at the end of the training montage in the first movie. Or that really disgusting scene when he drinks 5 raw eggs to get protein. I don't think protein powder was really big in the 80s, so that was just the best way he knew how. If you ask me, though, I think the training montages are what Rocky is best known for. Now, generally, the plot of each movie goes as following. Rocky has some big reason he needs to fight, right? Whether it's because that's just what he wants to do, he needs money, or somebody has done something to wrong him, and he's going to fight it out in the boxing ring. And inevitably, they decide that to get ready for this fight, he needs to train, and we cue the training montage. Rocky trains, maybe something happens in the training that goes awry, his wife usually takes issue with him training, or something along those lines, right? He flies to Russia to train for free in the middle of the winter in Rocky IV, but something along those lines, and then Rocky has the big fight at the end of the movie. These montages make up a large part of the movies. I don't know if they were the first movie to ever have a training montage, but Rocky I is the first movie I can ever recall that had the Eye of the Tiger playing during the training montage, and I think when we think of montages, that's probably what we think of now. This all kind of culminated in Rocky IV. As a percentage, someone sat down and did the math. The movie Rocky IV is 31.9% montage. So almost a third of the movie is montage. Training montage. Today, I want to talk about spiritual training. I want to talk about why we should train ourselves and how we train ourselves. Why we should train ourselves, and how we should train ourselves. So, why do we train? Now, in the movies, when we get into the training montage, usually Rocky does some sort of workout related to a part of the body that you would use to box. You know, the speed bag, or the punching bag, or push-ups, or weights, or whatever it might be. We don't usually see Rocky practicing his roundhouse kicks or anything like that, because you're not allowed to kick in boxing. So he's training the part of the body that he's going to use. Likewise, we need to train our spiritual body the way we're going to use it. You know, imagine if we got to the end of the Rocky movie and he's trained his body the whole movie, and it just cuts and there's no fight. It just ends with the training montage. It'd probably be a pretty crummy movie. Rocky V probably could have done better if they just cut it then. Not worth your time. Do not waste the 2 hours on Rocky V. If you would please turn to 2 Timothy 1. If we want to use God's Holy Spirit, we have to train ourselves. Again, 2 Timothy 1. We're going to pick it up here in verse 6. And Paul's writing to Timothy here, and he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Here God is reminding us that we need to use his spirit, and we have to stir it up to use it. You know, we have to train to use God's spirit because there very well may be times when we have to use his spirit and we need to be sharp and practiced with it. Think of a situation, and I'm reminded of a few different stories where somebody is at work or school and somebody, maybe a teacher, maybe a boss, or maybe just a friend, starts to challenge them a little bit on their beliefs, you know, with the why can't you work on Saturday, or why can't you play sports, or whatever it may be. And if somebody challenges you on your beliefs, it's best to be practiced in defending them and using God's Spirit to explain your beliefs. You know, it's often said that it's better to be prepared and not need it than need it and not be prepared. Also, throughout the Bible, we are reminded to walk with God's Spirit as a guide and to use God's Spirit. Few verses that we won't be able to read all of for the sake of time, but Jude 1 verse 20, Galatians 5 verse 16, and Galatians 5 verse 25 all remind us how to use and when to use God's Spirit. If you would please turn, however, to Matthew 5. And that's Matthew 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. I think one of the other reasons, and the final reason I'm going to talk about why we need to train our spirit, is because God did not give us the gift of His Holy Spirit for us to not use it. Matthew 5, verse 15, this is a rather recognizable piece of scripture, but still one that's important and we're going to read today. Picking up in verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, if God gave us the gift of His Holy Spirit and we decide to never use it, we're covering our light. God gave it for us to use it, and to use it, we must practice. So now we've kind of taken a look about why we need to train in using the Spirit, and now I want to take a bit and talk about how. So how do we train to use the Spirit? I think the question of how has a few relatively simple answers that I think most of us could probably come up with. Things such as Bible study, prayer, fasting, meditation, things along those lines are things I think most people relatively would come up pretty quickly on how do we train. But I want to look at a few of what I believe to be the less obvious reasons. Now, in the Rocky movies, usually when the training montage goes, it's about usually 10 minutes or so, and you'll see Rocky doing some weird workout, right? He'll be drinking the raw eggs or punching a bag or running up a snowy mountain or chopping wood or something. But inevitably, at some point in the training montage, Rocky starts sparring with somebody, right, where you're kind of practice fighting just to kind of get the feel for things. Now, by no means am I suggesting that you or I go start sparring, but what about spiritual sparring with others? Now, I'm not talking in the sense of trying to fight, but having conversations with each other at church, or outside of church, doesn't have to be at church. But having conversations with others can certainly sharpen our skills. If you turn to Proverbs 27, please. And that's Proverbs 27. This is once again another well-known piece of scripture, but one that I think fits well and it's important to know and review and oftentimes is actually a memory scripture. Again, that's Proverbs 27, verse 17. "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You know, when church ends and we start talking, it's good to talk about how the week went, what's going on, any type of things that maybe happened this week, and those can be good and helpful conversations. But it's also helpful to have spiritual conversations. Maybe something said during the sermon really spoke to you. Maybe you had some sort of challenge that week that you were able to, you know, relate to your beliefs and your religion or something along those lines. Having conversations with those at church about spiritual matters can certainly sharpen our spiritual use of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to be limited to just conversations with those who necessarily believe exactly what we believe. Now, we do have to be careful having these types of conversations with people at work or school or the doctor's office or what it might be. When we talk to them about our beliefs, you have to be careful that you don't you know, kind of take it over the line, right? If something that was said at Camp Pinecrest this year that really struck me was that, you know, if God is not opening the hearts and the minds and the ears of somebody, no matter how much we're convicted and we know, let's say, that the Sabbath is on Saturday, if God hasn't opened their hearts and their minds to that, it's simply not going to click for them. It's not going to make sense. So we have to be careful that we're not just shoving it down their throat or being unreasonable about it. But having conversations with those who don't believe exactly what we believe can certainly help us sharpen our skills. You know, I'm a big history guy, and one of the examples I've always admired and my personal favorite president was Abraham Lincoln. And something Abraham Lincoln did that wasn't very common and still certainly isn't common in politics is when you're the president, you get to pick the members of your cabinet, right? Your Secretary of War, Secretary of Finance, etc. And when Abraham Lincoln was picking these members, he picked famous political rivals like Salmon Chase and William Seward. These were men that Lincoln did not agree with. Both of them were his political rivals. But he found that having people who didn't necessarily agree with everything he thought was good for him. It helped him to understand and see where people were coming from. You know, we don't want to surround ourselves too much with those in the world, but being with them oftentimes can give us a good sense of what's commonly said. You know, one of the things I like to see at camp, again, to do camp a little bit of a shout out, is sometimes you'll see kids have a conversation about what it's like actually in the real world when they tell their friend, hey, I can't play sports or whatever it might be on the Sabbath. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, if you and I kind of played out that conversation, we'd probably say something along the lines of, oh, hey, why can't you play sports? Well, I can't, it's the Sabbath. And the person who doesn't believe will probably say something along the lines of, oh, what's that? And the conversation would go on. And at the end, the person who doesn't believe would say, oh, okay, right, I respect your beliefs, and that's that. Unfortunately, that's not really the reality or how the conversation actually goes for most people. And so being around and talking to those people who don't believe can help sharpen you to what they might actually say when faced with something that they don't believe. Finally, something that we can do to, you know, how we train is to challenge yourself to come up with your own Bible studies. You know, I think one of the neat things about being able to have the opportunity to speak is when preparing for a sermonette, I believe I've come up with some of the best Bible study that I've ever had when you start to delve into a subject. And you don't have to be on the speaking schedule to do this. There's nothing wrong with looking into writing a sermonette or a Bible study or an article. I know a guy who will take them. And doing that yourself can oftentimes lead you down some really interesting paths. There may be things that, say, you wrote an article on grace, where when you have a certain belief or something that was said that really stuck with you, and that's kind of how you've always viewed that. But when you actually sit down and start writing your own article or study your belief and actually trying to connect all the dots, you may find something that kind of speaks to you or something that really makes it simpler or something along those lines. It really is helpful to actually sit down and write it and try and understand it. And it very well may come in handy if someone challenges you on that specific belief. Brethren, we have an amazing gift from God and His Holy Spirit. But just like Rocky in the movies trains before he steps into the ring in every movie, we need to be training ourselves to use His Spirit as a tool now before the moments come that we may need to wield it. We need to make sure to study our Bible, to pray, fast, and meditate. And we also need to make sure to have the conversations to strengthen our faith with brethren and those who aren't believers. We need to prepare our minds and spirits so that when the time comes to use it, we are ready.